spoke on Cain and Abel, and that will be what we'll be covering as well. Hopefully we perhaps can add a few things to what he told us. So we know the verses that explain or expound to us the lives of the two brothers. We read some of those before, and we'll read them again in a little bit. And I'll read them from the ESV version. First, I'd like to have us look at the words of the Apostle Paul to see if we can find a shadow connection in his words from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Of course, we know that Paul is speaking of Adam, the first man, and Jesus, the man from heaven. Jesus also called the last Adam. I believe that's in Acts. The man of the earth, however, as Cain is described, is a worker of the ground or a tiller of the ground. Cain's wisdom comes not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish. Thus James describes that his is just the opposite of the wise man, who shows his good actions, his works, with meekness of wisdom. As to Abel, who was a keeper of the sheep, one who tended to or was associated with the flock, and he was a friend of and sought for friendship with God, and likely with his brother as well. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, describes Jesus as the last Adam. Immortality beckoned to Adam in the Garden of Eden. But he proved himself unworthy. Along with his wife, they fell from grace by their joint failure to meet one simple test of their willingness to obey. By contrast, Jesus shows to what moral and spiritual heights mankind could go. From the beginning, man was meant to rise in obedience and gratitude to God. For it is from He who in Acts 17, verse 25, tells us that Yahweh's creatures get life, breath, and all things. So let's read Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin crouches at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spake to Abel, his brother. When they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And whosoever finds me will kill me." The Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kill Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." The Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So we can perhaps title these accounts of Cain and Abel as enmity leading to murder. Enmity is hostility, hatred. We know that, of course, from Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmity between the woman's seed and the seed of the serpent." The two sons of Eve, Cain and Abel, typically represent the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Though both were religious and prepared to worship God and offer sacrifices unto him, they were motivated by different principles that led to enmity and hostility that finally erupted in the murder. Cain desired to worship God according to the dictates of the flesh. Abel did so from the requirements of the spirit word. The result of this division of attitude and understanding was tragic. And the first blood was shed in religious controversy. It illustrates the bitter hostility that is manifest by the seed of the serpent towards the seed of the woman. The following statement from Alpha Israel, page 102, is to the point. There can be no friendship between these parties. Death or victory is the only alternative. There can be no peace in the world till one or the other is suppressed. Enmity is the essential hostility between sin and God's law, which is the truth. Either truth must conquer sin, or sin must abolish truth. But compromise, there can be none. I have great faith in the power of truth because I have faith in God. He has pledged to give it the victory, and through deceivers in church and state, they may triumph for the time being, and they may try to destroy the earth, but their end is certain, and their destruction is sure. It's significant that Cain and Abel were of one family, and that both were worshippers of God, but one sought to self-sacrifice to worship, and the other offered only the worship of self. Verses 1 through 4 is the worship of Cain and Abel. Both sons of Adam and Eve desired to worship God and were prepared to offer a sacrifice, but their offerings differed. One brought the labor of his hands, the other brought of the provision of God with which he became identified. God showed respect toward the offering of Abel, but rejected that of Cain. Verse 1, we find that Adam knew Eve, his wife. The expression describes the most intimate action possible between a man and his wife, one which produces seed to the glory of the Father. It is also used to describe the tangible results that come from the implantation of the truth, the seed of Yahweh. And that is in the heart of the believer. The word is designed to produce a new life and it develops a son of God. As we saw this morning from 1 John chapter 3, that we are the sons of God. On the other hand, it is stated of the wicked sons of Eli that they were sons of Belial. They knew not Yahweh. Verse 2, and again, and she again bare his brother Abel. The Hebrew Abel signifies breath of vapor, metaphorically that which is frail or transitory. The word is rendered vanity in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2 and elsewhere. Abel came to recognize the vanity of his life and that true substance is found only in God's way. Like Paul, he was moved by faith, setting his eyes on the unseen as revealing the tangible realities of life. His short life on earth illustrates the observation of James: what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Also verse 2, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain a tiller of the ground. The two brothers were evidently different in physical condition, different in occupation, different in attitude, different in worship. Abel, perhaps, was so named by his parents because of his frailer condition. He was the first shepherd of the Bible, and as such was a type of Christ. The word keeper means to tend as a shepherd, to pasture, to rule. He thus learned to lead the sheep with his eyes upward, seeking the animals under his control. On the other hand, Cain was a tiller of the ground. The word abad signifies to serve as a bondservant, a slave. Apparently, he became enslaved in his labor so that his eyes were constantly centered on the earth, in which, in due time, he was destined to return. Verse 3, the process of time in the Hebrew is literally means at the end of days. This required a set time when it was appropriate to present a special offering on the tabernacle, as referred to in Genesis 3, verse 24. Perhaps this offering was made when they attained a certain age, the age of responsibility. In latter times, Jewry followed the practice of bar mitzvah. The son of the commandment, which conferred a responsibility to understand and obey the law upon the child of 13 years of age. Significantly, it was on the eye of this age that the Lord Jesus presented himself to the leaders that day in the temple. It came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. He had enslaved himself in the labor of the ground, and he brought what he had personally labored to obtain. This offering unto Yahweh was a gratitude offering by which a person expressed his thanks to God for blessings received and declared that he will use the strength derived therefrom in Yahweh's service. In bringing this offering only, Cain ignored the fundamental and primary principles set forth in Hebrews 9, verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood is no remission. This had been clearly revealed to Adam and to Eve when they were provided with the covering that hid their nakedness. Verse 4, Abel he also brought of. The construction of the Hebrew implies that Abel brought both forms of the offering. Abel also was bringing, moreover, from the firstling of his flock. Paul declares that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice This is Hebrews 11, verse 4. The Greek signifies more properly in number, but also of magnitude, and the comparison expressed or implied, he brought more than one offering, being moved by faith, expressing his thanks to God for the benefits received, recognizing that his life was but a vapor, and dedicating himself to the way of righteousness. So he brought the firstling of his flock. Thus, at that early age, the right of the firstborn was known. Later, under the law of Moses, the firstlings of the flock and the herd were always given in sacrifice to Yahweh. Yahweh laid claim to the firstborn in particular, his, for it was the right to the firstborn of our increase. The firstborn had triple rights, birthright, he received a double portion of the inheritance of his father, the priesthood, he represented the family to Yahweh, and authority, he was held next in honor to his parents and exceeded in the government of the family or the kingdom. The portion of the firstborn could be forfeited through misconduct or incompetence, in which case a younger son could be elevated to the position. Yahweh hath respect unto Abel and to his offering. Not merely to the sacrifice, be it noted, but also to the offerer. Abel's heart was with his offering, and the one confirmed to the other. Paul declares the obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Hebrews 11, verse 4. How was this done? Possibly by the touch of the flaming sword. In later times, divine fire consumed sacrifices, therefore witnessing that Yahweh was pleased with them. And this may well have been the case at this occasion. But under Cain and his offering, he had not respect. He showed no respect for either Cain or for his offering. The one was reflective of the other. Rotherham renders this verse, he approved not. God could direct the hidden heart, could detect the hidden heart of the wickedness in Cain. The Amplified Bible notes, in the beginning, the offering he did, Cain denied that he was a sinful creature, since the sentence of divine condemnation. He insisted on approaching God on the grounds of personal worthiness. Instead of accepting God's way, he offered to God the fruit of the ground, which God had cursed. He presented the product of his own toil and the work of his own hands, and God refused to receive it. Yahweh said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Cain's frowning downcast clearly manifest the jealous feelings and anger within. The purpose of God's question was to bring Cain to self-examination and repentance. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Margin renders this, have the excellency. The Hebrew signifies to be elevated or exalted in rank or in character. The reference is to the status of the firstborn in the family with its various privileges outlined in the contents back that we read back in verse 4. Cain was the actual firstborn, but even as the flesh prophesies nothing, but confers no merit, he had to demonstrate his qualifications to hold such a position of privilege, which could have been conferred upon him. Abel would then have been subject to his brother. And if thou doest well, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Unto thee shall be his desire. The statement made to Cain in relation to Abel is almost identical to that which Eve in relation to Adam, according to Genesis 3:16. The word desire is the same in Hebrew, and we see no reason why it should not be similarly treated here. If Cain performed the will of God in presenting his offering according to the instructions and that they were given, then he would have oneness with God, that which will be the lot of the redeemed in the age to come. And would he not have been subject to his brother? Why? Because Cain was the firstborn, and as such had the privilege of the priestly functions on behalf of the rest of the children. In that case, the accepted worship of Abel would have been subject to Cain, for his position as family priest would have been confirmed by actions of faith. And thou shalt rule over him. Cain would exercise rule in spiritual matters, though the authority that would be vested in him by God in the same way elders ruled in the apostolic ecclesia. Cain talked with his brother Abel. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. There must have been contention during which Cain spake evil of those things which he knew or which he understood not. As such, he showed that he was dominated by the wicked one, the serpent, sin in the flesh. His attitude and his action foreshadowed those of the Jewish generation of murderous vipers who put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. However, whereas Abel's blood called out for vengeance, Christ's blood proclaims mercy. Verses 9 to 12, we have the punishment of Cain. The curse is intensified by willful transgression and death, and Cain is denied fellowship with God, being driven unto the land of exile. Yahweh said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" God's first question to man was, "Where art thou?" Now that from Genesis 3, verse 9. His second question was, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" Evidently, Cain had buried the body of his dead brother, and in so doing, had imagined that he had wiped away all traces of his crime. And he said, "I know not." In lying to God, he followed the way of the serpent, who lied concerning the effects of the eating of the tree. Cain thus demonstrated that he was the son of the devil, which was now found in the flesh instead of external to it. Christ warned the vipers of his day that in seeking to kill him, they did the deeds of their father. He then told them, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the liar and the father of it." The devil in this verse, the one that drew Adam and Eve over the line of the law drawn by God, and that caused Cain to deceive, to murder, and to lie, was the serpent, revealed both as a animal and as the inflamed lust of the flesh. Cain was dominated by the latter. Am I my brother's keeper? At this stage, sheltering behind a lie, Cain was bodily defiant, seeking to justify himself by disclaiming responsibility towards his brother. In fact, as firstborn in Adam's family, he was appointed to be the position of the responsibility over the others. The family unit is the foundation of a nation's greatness. This was indicated in the law of Yahweh, later given to Israel, and some principles of that which have evidently been taught to the family of Adam by the Elohim. This required that the various members of the family should be closely intertwined, and the defense of each other. It required that those in a position to do so should act as a redeemer for the others. Yahweh established by the tie, the blood, as a natural law and expects it to be acknowledged and acted upon so long as his truth is upheld. Then the Yahweh asks, Cain, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground. How foolish to try and to hide things from Yahweh. How vain is the covering of lies by which we might seek to blot out our transgressions. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. David had to learn the truth that the only way to obtain a covering for sin was to be opened up to Yahweh with a plea for mercy and help. As it was, Abel's blood cried out for vengeance alone. In this, it did not have the same efficiency as that of Christ, whose blood speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Christ's blood cried out for vengeance also, and justice was administered against guilty Judah. But that was only because, like Cain, the nation refused the mercy of Yahweh. Christ's blood also called for grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And this accomplished that which Abel was unable to do. Verse 11, And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. The Amplified Version reads as, you are cursed by reason of the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood. Personal transgressions added to the curse already imposed as a result of the original sin. In common with all creation, Cain had inherited the effects of the curse proclaimed at the time that his parents had sinned. But that had been his misfortune, not his crime. Now, his actual transgression brought a personal curse upon him, in that he was to be driven from the fertile area of the earth. Verse 12, when you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. Cain was to be driven away from the fertile area of the earth, and the privilege of cultivating plant life in fellowship with the Almighty God was to be denied him. The Hebrew was the circumstances of Jewry after AD 70. Originally, the Jewish people were a rural community, but with their dispersion throughout the wilderness expanse of the Gentile world, this facility was denied them. Be a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. A vagabond is a wanderer. He was driven away from the original abode into the land of Nod or of exile, there to wander as a nomad. That's Cain and Abel.